from isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack, and my friends are just as creepy as me. I didn't go to boarding schools. Preppy girls never looked at me.
House Bill 1069 increases transparency of schools, district selection, and use of educational materials, empowers parents' ability to protect their kids from exposure to inappropriate material, reinforces parental rights in education by prohibiting classroom instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in pre-kindergarten through eighth grade, ensures reproductive health education, covers biologically accurate information, prevents school employees, contractors, and most importantly, students from being coerced to use preferred personal titles or pronouns, protect students from retaliation or discrimination for not providing their preferred pronouns. That is the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, there's a lot in that bill. That's no surprise. This is the follow-up to last year's bill, the parental rights bill. This is the expansion of that to cover not just K through 3 like it was last year, but K through 8 this year. This is Stan McClain. You know, you've heard the governor, or you've heard that the governor is interested in expanding this all the way up to K through 12. But, you know, the bill comes from the House, and Stan McClain, as I say, is the sponsor of the bill. There's a lot of elements to it. And, you know, the main ones that have captured people's attention is, you know, we're not going to be instructional time addressing things like gender identity or sexual orientation. And we're not going to be requiring people to use pronouns that other people prefer. And we're not going to be asking people what their pronouns are. And we're just going to, you know, we're going to treat boys like boys and girls like girls. And that's all there is to it. Questions came up. Fairly good. Sometimes good questions in the conversation. Ashley Gantz, House Representative Ashley Gantz.
Would a teacher putting up pictures of their family in their classroom, or being prohibited to put up pictures of their family in their classroom, be considered in the purview of classroom instruction, since there isn't a definition in the bill?
In my opinion, I would say the answer to that question would be no. Classroom instruction, again, in my opinion, this is not defined in the bill, would be organized curriculum that's directed towards an entire class, an entire grade level, or an entire school district.
What she's getting at is, if you've got a gay teacher who's got a picture of his husband or her wife that they would normally have, like, on the desk maybe or something like that, would having that picture up constitute instructional material? Because the kids are going to see the picture of the gay couple, right? And the answer was no. That does not constitute instructional material. Okay, so question asked and answered.
Your bill provides the availability of one-way attorney's fees. Aren't we concerned that one-way attorney's fees provided in this bill will incentivize frivolous litigation and create more billboard lawyers, which I know is a serious concern of the members of this body?
Representative McClain.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do not.
Yeah, but everybody else does. that's genuinely a legitimate concern, because as comes up later in the conversation, there's an ongoing worry that what you've basically done is drop a giant invitation to all of the lowest grade attorneys in the world to go and find willing litigants to try to sue over, you know, instruction materials that they think are inappropriate in the classroom, because that's the last step of remedy. That if you don't get your way, basically, to get rid of something, then you can just sue. And, you know, the attorney's fees are one way, so it's not like if you lose, you got to pay the school district. It's only the other way around. And so there's only that incentive, and something that the, you know, the legislature has been working hard against across the board to try to get rid of exactly those kinds of things. Here's another question that came from Yvonne Hinson.
There's a method on several pages in your bill for a parent to complain about a book. But is there a method for the other 99% of the parents to request the book?
Representative McClain.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No, there's not.
Which, again, there you get the question, which is, you know, well, if one parent, like in, you know, Escambia County, we got basically one person filed 100 book complaints, you know, can one person do that? Yes. Can 4,823 parents who like the book file their support? You know, can we do a referendum on the books, basically? Can we find out whether they're overwhelmingly supported, opposed, marginally opposed, or whatever? And the answer is no. No, there's nothing like that. One person objects, and then they have to go through the process to figure out whether we're going to keep it. Then this question, this was the one that the Democrats just kind of got stuck on during the day.
Is pronoun defined in your bill?
It's Because if you're not allowed to, you know, you don't get in trouble for answering the question, what's your pronoun? The teachers are not obligated to use the pronoun of the choice. You know, if you're going to have all of these sort of parameters in there to prevent pronoun abuse, the question arises, well, what are the pronouns?
Is pronoun defined in your bill?
The reality is that there are so many pronouns that are being used in schools today that I don't think the bill would be able to address all of them.
Yeah, which is a fair answer, right? Like, you know, you would think typically it's just he, him, hers, theirs, right? You know, the ones you know, but you've seen the list of pronouns that, you know, people of alternate concepts of self have been using. So, okay, you know, that's, which is a fair question. And by the way, the rules about personal titles and pronouns says it should be the policy of every public K-12 educational institution that is provided or authorized by the constitutional laws of Florida that a person's sex is an immutable biological trait and that it is false to ascribe a person a pronoun that does not correspond to such person's sex. That, in other words, it's announcing that's the state policy for K-12 educational. The section does not apply to individuals born with a genetically or biochemically verifiable disorder of sex development, including but not limited to XX disorder of sex development, XY disorder of sex development, sex chromosome disorder of sex development, XX or XY sex reversal, and ovotesticular disorder. And there are some margin cases. There really are, right? There are some, certainly there are cases where it's not clear or, but this is not about those cases. Okay, that's what that part of the bill is saying. Then two, an employee, contractor, or student of a public K-12 educational institution may not be required as a condition of employment or enrollment or participation in any program to refer to another person using that person's preferred personal titles or pronouns if such personal title or pronouns do not correspond to that person's sex. So can't be required to refer to somebody by what they prefer you to pronoun-wise. And then three, an employer, contractor, public K-12 educational institution may not provide to a student his or her preferred personal pronouns or titles if such preferred personal titles or pronouns do not correspond to his or her sex. So, you know, teacher that's transsexual cannot tell a kid use this other pronoun, right? That's prohibited. And four, a student may not be asked by an employee or contractor of a public K-12 educational institution to provide his or her preferred personal title or pronouns or be penalized or subjected to adverse or discriminatory treatment for not providing his or her personal preferred title or pronouns. So teachers can't tell, teachers can't ask, you're not required to use, and the basic disposition of the entire school system is that we are not going to treat personal pronouns differently from your biological sex. 437-1620, 437-1620. Lots of conversation about this. Angela Nixon on an amendment that would have removed the identification of sexuality as being purely binary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Look, members, colleagues, we are more than our genitals. I can't believe that I literally have to say that on the House floor, and they shouldn't define us. This bill was written as written, also fails to consider the variety of intersex conditions, which are more common than you might expect.
Actually, it's in the bill, but you know, I just read it to you. But we're more than, the bill doesn't say you're only your genitals. It says those are things that cannot be changed, and we're not going to require people to pretend that they can be. That's what the bill says, so she's just off on that.
Trans people are not going away. LGBTQ people are not going away. Young people already know that LGBTQ people in their lives or they may be LGBTQ themselves.
Okay, I mean, understand. That's not even up for debate particularly, I think.
I keep going back to the fact that every 45 seconds, an LGBTQ child attempts to commit suicide. Until you have a child like mine that is a member of the LGBTQ community, you should not be passing bills this way. The fact that one of my children no longer wants to let the world know who they are because of bills like this is a problem for me. I am concerned about their mental health. I lost a sister because she felt unseen. She killed herself. She killed herself because she felt unseen. And now with this legislation, I have to worry about my child too. I'm pissed. I am absolutely pissed that we are here and we are doing this type of stuff. Stop othering people. Let them call them by what they deserve and want to be called. Vote up on this amendment.
So you basically have two fundamentally incompatible visions of human sexual identity and of the appropriate rules to impose on or even allow other people to follow with regards to that. One side says that you're born with a sex. And that's the nature of referential terms like his and hers. And that the idea that people can or should change that because they feel out of sorts with their body or suffer from what, you know, professionals call gender dysphoria, that that's a malady, that's an illness, that's a mental miscondition. And we should not be affirming that miscondition or that problem by redefining our entire language and trying to have these people reshape the way we talk about them or to them. The other side says, no, gender's in your head and it's what you believe. That is the truth. Your body is misleading and people can be born wrong, even though they say they knew they can know from birth that they were born wrong. It's kind of an odd position, but it is the one that they take. And that's why they use terms like gender assigned at birth instead of say, you know, gender described at birth or gender acknowledged at birth, because they really believe that you can get it wrong when you look at a baby and think that it's a boy. And you can't find out till later who it is or what it is because you got to ask them when they have a fully inflated or fully blown concept of what they really believe they are. And for those people who believe that's what you are and have kind of reinforced that mindset, well, you're calling them something that they aren't. You might as well be calling them a cat. Because they're not a cat. They're a human. They're not a boy. Even though it looks like they were born a boy, they're a girl because that's what they think they are. And so to call them the other thing is insulting and offensive and othering and hurtful and runs the risk of reinforcing the negative psychological conditions that lead them in some cases to a very high percentage compared to the rest of the population to have suicidal ideation and take action on the basis of that. And one of the basic questions here is when somebody, when a group of people have a psychological condition, I don't, just using that in as neutral a way as I can, that also correlates heavily with depression and desire for self-harm and a whole host of other issues. Do you A, try to treat that condition as a disorder, or do you B, try to reorient the whole world's treatment of that person and redefine it around their condition, around their picture of themselves? And they think B, and we think A. And those are not compatible viewpoints. It's going to be one or the other. There's no neutral. Like so many issues that come up in schools, there's no neutral. 523 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Get ready for an unbelievable Easter weekend with Marcus Point Baptist Church. Join with thousands for a Pensacola tradition at the Blue Wahoo Stadium, the community sunrise service. The worship begins at 6:15 a.m. as the sun rises over the Pensacola waterfront. The celebration continues at 6205 North W Street at 10 a.m. with Easter at Marcus Point, filled with powerful music and great events for the whole family. Easter will be unbelievable with Marcus Point.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative news and talk. Local news and talk. And dependable news and talk. Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
21 gigawatts!
Good morning, 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. By the way, on that House Bill 1069 that is working its way through the legislature, I think very likely to become law, there are some very interesting features of this bill that we have not had a chance to talk much about. And I wanted to make sure and get you informed about that, because they are, for people who care about all the issues that are in this bill, some of this is it's a little bit surprising. I didn't even realize it until I was looking back over the bill. One is, you know, the current way you do this is if you challenge one of the books, the book is challenge books stay on the shelf until a decision is made to remove it. This would reverse that. This says that any material subject to an objection on the basis of the previous paragraphs must be removed within 5 school days of receipt of the objection and remain unavailable to students of that school until the objection is resolved. So books that are challenged go out instead of being sort of in the special area, which is kind of the way it is right now. And part of that is because it takes forever to get these books processed, you know, 7 months. I mean, we've gone through what, like seven, eight in Escambia County so far. Right. So that's a problem. And then this one, this is a big deal for, again, people who've been paying attention to these issues. A lot of times what will happen is parents that go to these special meetings of the school board and they want to complain about a book, they will say they want to read from the book because they feel like reading from the book is the best way to prove that the book ought not to be in schools because it's pornographic. OK, it's typically the reason why. And they start to read the book and the school board's like, no, you can't read that. To which we're like, well, if you can't read it, and I understand there's a distinction between public and private, and, you know, there are some materials that even though they should be allowed to have, you should have access to them, they're maybe not something that you read in front of everybody or over a broadcast. That's all true. Nevertheless, this has kind of been a sticking point, is if you're going to have a conversation about what's in the books, you ought to be able to talk about what's in the books. Well, this bill actually has a provision that says parents shall have the right to read passages from any material that is subject to an objection. If the school board denies a parent the right to read passages due to the content that meets the requirements under subsection, then the school district shall discontinue the use of the material. Meaning, you can either read it, or if you can't read it because it's so lurid that it can't be read, then that's evidence that ought to be removed, and it gets removed. Which, I support this. This makes sense. If the thing is so awful that you can't read it, you know? But I do see that some of our school board meetings are going to be a little bit more entertaining from now on. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Donald Trump calling on Republicans to defund federal law enforcement agencies after his arraignment this week. On social media yesterday, Trump said the Department of Justice and the FBI should be defunded until they come to their senses. Students in Uvalde, Texas, staged a walkout yesterday to protest gun violence. Junior high students apparently walked out of school and joined a march led by high school students. They all went to the memorial site for the 21 victims of that school shooting. And Cash App creator Bob Lee apparently was killed in San Francisco this week. The 43-year-old creator of the mobile payment app was found stabbed on Tuesday morning. Twitter CEO Elon Musk reacting to the attack. Now, he called it horrific. Former Twitter chief Jack Dorsey, who now owns Cash App, called it heartbreaking.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I saw them testing the lights yesterday on Three Mile Bridge.
Oh, that's awesome. Was it beautiful?
It was not that interesting. No. When I was going downtown, I was at Jackson's last night, and and I was driving around. I don't know how, on a whim, I just thought, oh, I'll go drive through the bridge and just kind of see Graffiti Bridge, see if maybe they secretly put some sign up that I didn't know about. I don't know, it's just kind of one of those whims. And, you know, sometimes those whims don't pay off, and yesterday it did. So I was driving down Bayfront, and I'm like, oh, the bridge is all red. Not neat. You know, that's a real thing. We actually have lights up on the bridge. And so they're ongoing testing and some lane closures because of that, as they're getting all of that stuff to work properly. So that will be a future feature of that bridge and a very cool thing. Oh, by the way, didn't talk about this earlier this week, but Pace High School, Navy Junior ROTC, national champions again. third consecutive one. Pretty impressive. Third consecutive Navy National Academic Athletic and Drill Competition that was held at NES Pensacola. So, well done, young people. Well done.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A congressional delegation in Taiwan for meetings despite China's bluster over a visit by the president of Taiwan, hosted by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
We take our support for the people of Taiwan seriously and are determined to speak with one voice.
Saudi Arabia and Iran agreed today to reopen diplomatic missions in each other's capitals. The foreign ministers reportedly reaching that deal in Beijing. Holy Week for Christians around the world. Pope Francis leads the first of two major ceremonies, this from a mass earlier at St. Peter's Basilica. The 86-year-old Pope discharged from the hospital 5 days ago after battling bronchitis, delivered a long homily. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31. News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 72 degrees, mostly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. A man was killed. A woman remains in critical condition today after a motorcycle crash on Pensacola Beach last night. Now, this all happened on Fort Pickens Road, right near that Margaritaville Hotel. The Florida Highway Patrol says the driver, a 23-year-old Pensacola man, lost control of the bike as they went around a curve. They hit a curb. The 21-year-old female passenger was life-flighted to an area hospital. Again, we don't have an update on her current condition. The driver of that motorcycle passed away after the crash. Three people taken to the hospital after a drive-by shooting last night. Now, this happened at P Street and West Gadsden shortly before 8 o'clock on Wednesday, and PPD says the three victims' injuries appear to be non-life-threatening. Officers do say that they don't have a suspect at this time. If you have information, contact PPD or call Crime Stoppers. Pensacola contractor Matt Banks indicted yesterday on 4 charges by an Escambia County grand jury alleging he stole over $5 million from more than 150 victims since 2019. Faces up to 95 years in prison on those charges. It marks a second arrest for contractor fraud since last summer. Banks was booked into the Escambia County Jail Wednesday afternoon, released from jail on $155,000 bond. Dozens of migrants being sent back home after trying to make landfall in Florida. The Coast Guard stopped a boat in the Florida Keys yesterday that was carrying about 40 people. The boat was overloaded and unsafe. That, according to the Coast Guard, it was spotted in the lower Keys near Ramrod Key, but the Coast Guard didn't say where the boat came from. There's a new study out about redfish in the state that's causing a lot of concern. Florida International University researchers say that redfish caught in estuaries around the state have been contaminated with pharmaceuticals. The most common drugs found in the fish were cardiovascular or heart medications, opioid pain relievers, and psychoactive medications. Researchers say that studies in Europe show most pharmaceuticals can be removed from the wastewater treatment process by applying ozone treatment to the water. It's 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 First Warning Weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your First Warning Weather update. We're going to be seeing a small chance of rain today, 10% chance of a stray shower. Highs today reaching the low 80s. As you go overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees, staying warm and humid. Warm, humid conditions last as you go into your Friday. We are going to be seeing a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms Friday with a high near 83. Friday night, temperatures in the upper 60s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather team. Download the WEAR TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, cloudy, 72 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing, anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Ask Rushing Insurance in Pensacola and Daphne if auto owners make sense for you.
Have you been thinking about getting fit but don't know where to start? Why not start at Running Wild? Running Wild specializes in fitting every person to the proper shoe, apparel, and training designed for their unique needs. An essential resource to the community on all things fitness related, Running Wild takes pride in serving, teaching, and encouraging customers to reach new goals. Start your fitness journey with the experts at Running Wild in Pensacola and Fairhope. Follow on Facebook or shop online at WeRunWild.com.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620.
I can't help but wonder if it was a white man's business, if it would already be on the agenda and we'd already be discussing it. In 2023, it's ridiculous we have to have this conversation, but it comes down to money. Is the black dollar worth the same as the white dollar?
This was James Hutto. He is the marketing director for Casks and Flights at city council meeting most recently, where a half dozen or so supporters of the business and people affiliated with the business showed up to complain about how City Hall has been sort of dragging its feet on fixing the issue of the various problems surrounding them operating fully as a business downtown. And as you heard there, because it's a black-owned business and patronized not exclusively by black people, but, you know, a lot of black people like to go there. And he says, is there maybe a racial element to this? And he later on came back and said, you know, more encouraging, uplifting things. But I said at the time, I thought that's a ridiculous thing to allege either about the current mayor, Reeves, or about the former mayor, Robinson. So, no, that's not it. But, you know, the question remains, you know, what's the city going to do about this? And, you know, how can it be fixed? And yesterday we had a chance to talk about that with Mayor D.C. Reeves. D.C., welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So let's start there. They were upset, even though, I think Don Crayer or somebody had mentioned that there was going to be on the upcoming city meeting this month. We'd be talking about this. But I know you've been working on this. Have you guys come to any kind of a solution that will work for Casks and Flights?
Yeah, you know, and I'll give a quick background. Obviously, this has been talked about for a few months, and this is really an evolution of some ambiguity around state law and liquor licenses, and certainly I will speak for the previous administration and this one that race playing any role in this, of course, is an outrageous claim, and really and honestly, I think John, the owner of Casks and Flights, would tell you that given our history. Knowing that, how much I want to support businesses of any kind here in the city, that, we want to do what's best. And we also have rules that are on the books that we have to follow. And so, I think there's a little bit of blame to go around, from the business to the city to just ambiguity in state law and some things like that, that I don't think anybody at any point had this intent in mind. When you change your use of your business to go from, making wine to becoming a bar, that changes a lot, trips up a lot of different things. And I think John would tell you that. The city was very well intended during COVID to allow a little bit of an outlier use for that business that was a little ambiguous. We didn't really have – and why did we do that? Because that was a very difficult time for bars and restaurants. And
as you well know,
and so there were a lot of cities and communities kind of giving out exceptions to the rule for a temporary time, so these businesses and these employees had jobs and bars and restaurants survived, right? So very well intended across the board. So here's where we're at. We looked at it more and more in our planning department, and Sherry and Leslie spent a lot of time on this, and what we decided that would be a good update, we think, for the city, is how we define a restaurant. And what I mean is, right now, as it sits in the city, we define a restaurant the same way that what's called an SRX license defines a restaurant. the important point here, without getting into all the details, is that that requires you to have 151 seats. So one of the big trip ups, not only with Cask and Flights, but, you know, you think about when you go to New Orleans or tons of other cities, you know, you could have a restaurant that serves liquor that has 35 seats or 40. It's not required that it be 151.
Sure.
And if you're in this business, you know, that's a pretty sizable place. So we have just always flown under the wing of what was defined as an SRX restaurant that could serve liquor without a 4COP license. And we don't really need to do that. We can say, hey, look, if you want to buy what's now market rate for a 4COP license could be $300,000 to $400,000 now in Escambia County. If you want to buy and invest in one of those, should we have to also hold you to the fact that you have to have 151 seats as well? Is that good for entrepreneurship? Is that good for small business that you have to buy a place of that size or lease a place of that size to be able to help you be successful? So, you know, obviously that's a rule that we wouldn't be making one change for that only helps one business. That's trying to really help our small business community evolve here. You know, we heard a lot about the rule, one bar per block. There's ambiguity around that. I don't know that I want to try to fix an ambiguous rule. Let's try to have clarity. And I think that's the direction that we're going to be going this month.
Okay. Well, I look forward to hearing the exact proposal. But, you know, I know it had been said to the people who were showing up at the public forum last time that this would be coming on the agenda. It's good to see that we're finally going to have some kind of a solution. And I know your heart is to, you know, preserve local business as much as we possibly can. And, you know, let's see if we can't make this work for everybody. One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about is maybe this is a small thing and maybe it's new to me, but I noticed it the other day and I wanted to ask you. You know, the city of Gulf Breeze is borrowing the boat ramp parking structure, the, you know, infrastructure that used for collecting fees for their boat ramp at their main boat ramp. But I didn't realize that there was had been implemented at Bayview Park that there's paid parking there. And maybe it's been a while and I just didn't notice, but I was walking there the other day. Is that a new thing or has that been in place for a while?
It has been in place as long as I've been in this position. I don't know how long before that.
Okay.
But, you know, it's, you know, an honor system thing.
Yeah.
At the boat ramp. I don't know what kind of, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure exactly what kind of revenue or you know, enforcement, you know, that we have there. We've been really focused from a boat ramp standpoint. We've been really focused on getting some improvement, much needed improvement done. There's a dock broken at right there at East Pensacola Heights at Cervantes Bayou that mm-hmm. has been in disrepair for a while. Should be done by the end of Memorial Day. And, you know, I drive by it every morning. Taking Caroline to school is trying to start really eyeing some improvement at Wayside, you know, in the way it looks right there by the graffiti bridge. So we're not just focused on trucks there. We got to get that looking a little bit better as well. So, yes, that is been on the books, you know, for you to be able to launch your boat, you have to have, you know, a permit with us. So, but yeah, I'm not sure exactly how long that's been in place.
Meanwhile, we've got new kiosks with what Blue Angels imagery downtown, right? As part of the, push to make it easier, friendlier, cooler.
Yeah. And really more so it was focused around the text to pay, the Blue Angels, you'll see those pillars now that are going around those parking machines, if that's what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had a lot of conversation really in these last couple of weeks, about the future of parking in the downtown experience and that we all have ownership in it. And, you know, I've met with some of the private lot owners to try to come to some amicable solution, just knowing that where we are today is not where we need to be. I mean, it just isn't. We private lots, talk about ambiguity. That's been the theme
right.
of the call today, this morning, I guess. You know, who owns what? Who's booting what? You know, I try to tell everybody the city does not own a boot in parking. So, I digress. But point is, we've got to get to a better place in terms of what it is to park, not just on costs or anything like that. It's just the experience for our residents.
It is such a discouragement for people. It is a high negative for downtown Pensacola right now, unfortunately. But yeah, you know, I'm glad you're working on it. The only thing that anybody in the city really cares about, have you settled on names for the street sweepers yet?
No, not yet. We've got, I think it's open through the end, maybe the 14th.
Okay.
I'm going off memory, but the, But, yeah, I know at last count, which was, you know, I was in Tallahassee earlier this week. I just got back last night. But I haven't gotten a recent check. But I know we were at about 600 entries times three. So there are three names on each. So we're somewhere in the ballpark of 1,800 submissions. So if you guys have some extra set of hands over there, News Radio, just let me know. We got a lot of names to get through. So
I hear one of the front runners might be Kevin. But then my source on this was Assistant Police Chief Kevin Christman. So I could be wrong. about that.
Yeah, it was weird. We got like 30 submissions from his email. I don't know why I got that.
Nice. Nicely done.
I don't know. I'm partial. I do. It's been hard to beat Lightning McQueen, and I know I have a kid. But
yeah, as long as the paint scheme goes along, that'd be awesome with the lightning bolt and everything on the side. Ka-chow! One of the other things, this is going to come up on next week's agenda, but I just looked at it this morning and I was caught off guard a little bit. Jared Moore is bringing a presentation, I guess, from some kids who want the Mardi Gras to use biodegradable beads. It's called a sustainable Mardi Gras plan. They say it would be no additional cost, but it would solve the problem of beads getting in the trees and the gutters and all of that kind of stuff. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Hey, look, I love that stuff. When I was in Tallahassee, coincidentally, we had our youth council from the city of Pensacola down there, you know, for a couple of days with Florida League of Cities. And I was able to talk with them before I hit the road yesterday. You know, and this is another group of young people that are passionate about helping our community, which, you know, I love seeing that stuff, you know, not only as a father, but as a Pensacolian, you know, to see kids passionate about, you know, something that you know, could be a positive for us. So, you know, hey, we go through a lot of beads, you know, and they're probably right. You know, there'd be a big impact. So I'm looking forward to hearing it as much as anybody. You know, I haven't heard it yet, but we will next week. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I do want to give you kudos. You performed an April Fool's Day post talking about there being a Trader Joe's coming to town and being a mile south of City Hall and being in the water.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people were very happy and then very unhappy at the same time. Just to be clear, the barge and or floating grocery cart is not actually going to be in use for a not actually coming Trader Joe's. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll never say never. You know, there's a lot of research in the marine sciences that, you know, but at this time, I probably couldn't confirm that we're going to have a floating Trader Joe's. But, you know, I was going to tell you what my other one was going to be, but maybe it's far enough. No, I'll say
you want to save it for next year?
It's St. Augustine related. I'll just say.
Okay. Which is completely out of character for you, Mr. T-shirt maker.
Hey, I'm totally in.
You know, right, exactly. If for those who don't remember, Perfect Plane had the T-shirts. The number one Pensacola, number two St. Augustine. So, all right, we always like to end on a little bit of a lightning round. First question for you, Mr. Mayor: do you eat raw dough or batter when things are being cooked?
Yes, I mean I have to. I blame it on Caroline, you know, making pancakes or whatever. But yes, I do.
All right,
that's unhealthy, isn't it?
Well, you know, they say, but you know, everything's unhealthy, right? Yeah. Is there a favorite childhood toy from DC's past?
Man, we had a ton of Ninja Turtles, you know, around.
Who was your favorite?
I think Michelangelo.
All right.
My favorite, but yeah, we had a treasure trove of, I think my mom still has them around, you know, I guess she's, pretty sentimental. I think she's got them laying around somewhere still at her house.
Of course she is. And, last one, and this one comes from Candy, by the way, this is a Candy suggestion. What does DC stand for?
Yeah, good question. Darcy Curran Reeves. And so it's, Irish
Darcy
name.
Darcy Curran, like C-U-R-R-E-N?
Which is my mom's maiden name.
Oh, okay.
Curran, and then so DC, Jim Reeves' dad, my granddad was David Chester Reeves, went by DC. He, you know, coached city league sports around here. Was the announcer at one of the parks here, Lions Park. Way back in the day, and so it was a negotiation. I think DC like my dad's dad, but an Irish name like my mom's side of the family. So,
okay.
You know, and then in college, I just told everybody it was because of Mr. Darcy, even though I hadn't read the book. People like that.
And also, I imagine a little bit of, I can hide the Darcy underneath the DC, and it's acceptable a little bit that way. So, all right, fair enough. You learn something every day. Mayor Darcy Curran Reeves of Pensacola always joins us on a Wednesday. So we look forward to the press conference today and also, of course, talking to you next week. Thanks for the time.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
And the shout-out to Pride and Prejudice. Love it.
Exactly. Yeah, and by the way, can I connect this with last week when he told us that the three words of advice he would give to 13-year-old DC was do more homework, and he just now said he'd not read the book. So you see there's a, you know, he's telling the truth across the board, right? There's a theme here.
That.
I like that. There's connectivity. 550 on
News. I just love our mayor, don't you? He's so great. He's
very easy to get along with, yes. 550 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, and, you know, you might be in the, like, I'm not sure yet phase, right? Well, if you're putting up with the car, like every day you're like, man, I really ought to get a new car. You're in the phase. You're there, okay? Now is the time to start looking. The first question you're going to figure out is, you know, do I want to buy new or do I want to buy used? You know, you can do what Dave Ramsey and I recommend, which is, you know, buy a car that's a year or two old and then, you know, with 10 or 15,000 miles on it and then drive it until, it, you know, you can't drive it anymore, which is, you know, I took a Honda, my first Honda Accord had 330,000 miles and I sold it running. You know, like that's how I do cars. My current one is like, I think it's 185 or something like that, you know, just in midlife right now. But that's how I like to buy. But if you like to buy new, that's fine too. Okay. But do a comparison. Go look at the dealership, look at the new car, you know, smell the new car smell. That's all very exciting. And then look at the price and then go to Frontier and look at the same car that's a year or two old and then smell the car. That's fine. And, then, you know, look at the price and then decide how much is that smell worth? Right. Because that's a lot of what you're basically, because the car after you've had it for a year is the same car, right? Just a question of whether you're going to get it from that brand new smell and take the depreciation loss or whether you're going to do something else. So you make an adult decision. It's your money. You do what you want to do. I'm just saying that if you're going to buy a used car, Frontier Motors, that is the place to go. Right behind that big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Floridians can stack uninsured motorist coverage? If you have three vehicles with $25,000 stacking UM, that equates to $75,000 in total coverage. Therefore, always choose stacking coverage if you have more than one vehicle in your household.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
What will be your legacy? Remember, it's not about what you make. It's about what you get to keep and enjoy in retirement and eventually pass along to the folks you love. Alpha Star Wealth Management is committed to putting you first. They're committed to building a retirement plan that fits your needs and objectives and to help guide you through the market's highs and lows and life's unforeseen challenges. Visit alphastarwealth.com or call 850-437-3127. Alpha Star Wealth Management. Your prosperity is their priority.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
So, question, how good is your musical ear? Who's this?
Rolling Stones.
Yeah, it's Mick Jagger, I think. I don't think it's with the Stones, weirdly, but yeah, it's a song called Everybody Getting High, which, you know. But I love this song.
I just eat like this. I'm not high now.
That's right.
No, it's a good song.
Oh, man. And did the Sam Elliott catch you sideways?
Yes, yeah.
It's what's for dinner.
Feel like that hamburger comes with a mustache. 5:54.
God, I love Sam Elliott.
News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Nothing like starting my morning with little Sam Elliott.
I'm saying,
it's the
Mick
best.
Jagger.
It's what's for dinner.
Several people have been arrested after a flash mob in Philadelphia. Police apparently started getting tips that hundreds of teenagers were gathering there on Market Street in Philadelphia, apparently causing disruptions yesterday. It took until about 10 o'clock before they got control of the flash mob. Crews starting the initial cleanup today in Missouri in the areas that were hit by that tornado the other day. The National Weather Service has confirmed it was an EF2 tornado that hit Bollinger County. Five people were killed. Dozens of properties were damaged. That just looked terrible on the news there. The Masters Golf Tournament beginning today in Augusta, Georgia. Tiger Woods teeing off just after 9 o'clock this morning. He'll be playing with, and I hope I get these names right. I don't really follow golf all that much. But Victor,
we're going to find out right now, aren't we?
Victor Hovland and Xander Schauffele.
Sure enough.
And defending champion Scottie Scheffler is going to be paired with Max Homa and apparently an amateur golfer, Sam Bennett.
All right, very good. You were talking about that flash mob and trying to get them all arrested
yes.
or whatever. You know, the only thing that's harder to arrest than a flash mob?
What's that?
Flasher mob. 5:56.
Is it?
Come on. Oh.
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to picture it. Nope.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Of course you are.
Well, no, like dancing to whatever. I mean, like, just never mind. Nope. That's all right.
Just, nope. We're done? Yeah. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Twitter's always Elon Musk is you know, we say eccentric, right? Which
that's
is,
mild, but yes.
You know, when it's your uncle, they're just crazy, right? When they're rich, they're eccentric, right? That's basically
correct.
Okay. Unpredictable, unorthodox, odd, you know, and certainly all of those things fit Elon Musk. Elon Musk's Twitter, you have to say it that way, right? Because there's
yes.
like old Twitter, new Twitter. Elon Musk's Twitter has now designated National Public Radio, NPR, as state-affiliated media.
Oh.
Because, of course, they do get a really small slice of funding from the government. But the idea
Why
there being...
Always...
But no, but the idea there is that, you know, if... they're designated as state-affiliated media, then that's a way of saying, well, you can't really trust them to be, you know, news impartial or whatever, which I think this is a huge misfire because, you know, NPR does a lot of really good work, a very, very good in the sense that, you know, they're never going to report something that's false, okay? But they lean very heavily to the left. I mean, more so than... Like,
hey, there's another understatement.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, it's like saying, you know, we lean to the right. I mean, no doubt. Okay. You know that's true. But, you know, NPR.
We lean. There's a huge difference.
They just are the left. Yeah. And, you know, look, I like NPR. NPR does a lot of good work. I've told you before, I like to read people who disagree with me or see things a different way because you make sure you check your biases. So the misfire here, it's not that they're sort of biased because they get state funding. It's that they're biased because they're biased. You know, like that's the real issue. And so I just think it's kind of a, you know, a misnomer to say, well, state affiliated media. And therefore they Twitter guidelines say, quote, state financed media organizations with editorial independence like the BBC in the UK, which is another great source of media and news, or NPR in the United States are not defined as state affiliated media for the purposes of this policy. Well, they've deleted NPR in that statement now. So it's just basically the BBC. You know, they're the good ones, which is the British Broadcasting Corporation. Just going to leave that out there for. That's the British, yeah. Like BBC Four, BBC
right,
One,
right,
you know,
right.
all of that.
Golly.
So anyway, we had a conversation about that term the other day. Rather unfortunately. Anyway, 5:59 here on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, that'll do me for now. We'll be back in just a minute. When we come back, a lot of stuff to get into. God, the House and the Senate in Tallahassee have been doing so much. And there might be some drama out of Milton. You never know what might be coming up next hour. That's the good stuff. Stick around.